Awake. So we decided to do a discussion to kind of help focus and help people stay alert. So is it dark enough for you? Are you guys cool enough? Okay, I want to make sure you're comfortable. Just so you know, the way I usually do this is when I see this, that I take that as a signal that you want to have something to speak, and so I'll call on you because I figure that's you're agreeing with me and you want to support that. So just be aware of that. When I see that, I'll probably call on you. Okay? Fair enough? Okay. Good. So, as you maybe noticed on our little flyer, we're going to talk about resilience. When you think of the word resilience, what do you think of? The ability to bounce back. Okay? It's pretty common. Anybody else got any ideas? When I looked it up in the dictionary, that's what I got. The ability to bounce back from adversity. Okay? But, it started out, that was one of the definitions. A lot of the other definitions had to do with physical characteristics of different materials, that if it got bent, it would go back to its shape or whatever. But we're not, no.
Resilience.
See how well it bounces back. Awesome. Here we go again. No. Alrighty. This is what we enjoyed Wednesday night, too. May have to use your projector. But really, we're not metal. We're not something like that. We're an object, and it's gone again. Awesome. Well, we'll work through it. And this is what is a better definition in my mind of resiliency. The ability to endure or carry on through a trial or tribulation. Because you think about it, adversity, when you lose a loved one, you don't bounce back from that. You move through it. You change. You're different. You learn something. But you don't bounce back to right where it was before. Okay? So that's why I think that that definition is a little bit more accurate when it comes to talking about humans. Does that make sense? So let's talk about a discussion. These are just some of the questions that I thought would be fun to tackle. What are some of the trials you have gone through in your life? What emotions did you experience and what kept you going? And how did the trial affect you? Because I was thinking about it this morning during our prayer service, listening to testimonies. We go through adversity all the time. And that's what we do at prayer services. Do you realize this? Is this what we do? We share our resilience. We share our adversities to strengthen each other. So, now this is when you talk, because this is the discussion part. So what are some of the trials you've gone through, or what are the emotions that you experienced? Anybody? Yes. Okay, so her trial was the death of her husband, Uncle Johnny, and the first emotion was just disbelief.
The doctor told us that he had less than 3 months to live, essentially. And we went home and prayed, and Johnny said, maybe the Lord has other plans for us. So we just went ahead living our life like it had been, except he got weaker.
So the doctor said he had 3 months to live, and essentially they just continued living their life as they had been, as he progressively got weaker, and he died a year and 2 months later. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
Well, I think what keeps you going.
Yes. So what keeps her going is her responsibility to others.
It can't become all about you. So if you have a problem or a trial or something, you lean on God and you stay strong for others and just work through it.
Okay. So you lean on God. You say it again. You lean on God and support others or something like that.
And take care of your family.
Take care of your family to get through it. Okay, so that, I like that. You know, because you really have to focus your way, or not focus, but work your way through it sometimes. Anybody else willing to share?
We heard anger mentioned this morning. I think that's a really interesting emotion.
Okay.
And how do you keep going through that? I don't know. I guess I've had an awful lot of it, and I come to understand that maybe you don't need an outside influence. Maybe all you need is God, unless you consider him outside, which I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So because I've dealt with it alone.
Yeah. So anger is another emotion that is common to be dealt with, and you know, and it can be a struggle, especially you know, trying to deal with it alone.
And the effects of that down the road are interesting too, because it tends to make you even more resilient.
Okay.
It pushes resilience to its limit and teaches you that you are bigger than you thought.
Okay. Sometimes
it pours you down the road, and he's raised you to that level.
Sometimes God is using those things and he's building you up to make you more resilient to face a future trial, a future adversity. Okay? Fun. Anybody else? So Liza went through a trial about a year ago with her previous employer, and just going through that event, you know, it's one of those things that you just can't not think about it. You try and put it away, and it keeps popping back up. Right? Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. Anybody else, you know, have any other emotions going through a trial? We've heard anger. Oh, sorry. Go. Yeah.
What's the alternative? You know,
depression, despair. That can be another emotion. Certainly.
Okay, would depression make you feel numb?
Possibly. Yeah. Margaret brings up a good point. You're going through a difficult trial, and you know, you get depressed about it, and then you kind of just build a wall. And so you're numb because you don't want to feel anymore. Whatever the emotion was you're going through, you start building up walls. So I don't feel that anymore. I'm tired of that feeling. And so you just try and stumble forward. I'm just going to be numb. I'm not going to get too high. I'm not going to get too low. I'm just going to stumble forward. Anybody ever experienced that? I have. Certainly have. Yeah, because what happens when you start building up walls? You find yourself all of a sudden you're surrounded by walls and you're in jail, and you put yourself there,
and then you have to tear them down,
and then you're the only one that can tear them down. Someone can help, but ultimately it's you that has to knock them down. Cool. Anybody else? Yeah, when you're happy, you want to share too. That's true.
I'm entering a period of more self-reliance.
Okay.
Because I have no money for real folks to share my feelings. I'm entering a period of self-reliance or more reliance.
Okay.
Than I have before.
So she's entering a period where she has to be more self-reliant about some things and also rely upon God, because she doesn't have, you know, that other person that was her partner that helped shoulder those things as well. So it's certainly a change. But what, you know, I guess the biggest thing is, what keeps you going? Because what I find is that we have all these different kinds of emotions, right? Are they wrong? No. I don't believe so. They're not wrong. They're just feelings. Everybody gets feelings. And you deal with them. You learn how to deal with them. But the feeling itself isn't the problem. It's what we do with the feeling. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But what keeps us going? You had your hand up.
They're not telling you the real truth. And starting there and hoping that God, and praying to God to help me see past that.
So what helps keep us going is trusting in God and seeing past it. Okay. Good. Yes.
Sometimes when you're in the trial, sometimes the only way to keep going is just to kind of go with what your habits are.
As long as they're good habits, I guess.
Yeah, but
cocaine probably wouldn't be the answer.
That's how sometimes people keep going even in the world.
So she says when you're going through a trial, you know, sometimes it's a good thing to keep going through the habits that you usually do, a routine, to keep getting that one step in front of the other as you're going through that trial. Yeah, Jim. Okay, so it's not the joyful times that define who you are, it's the how you handle the adversity and stress defines what kind of person you are. That sounds like something I would say.
And understand that through depending on what that trial is, you're going to go through several stages and several steps. You're going to have anger, you're going to have loss, you're going to have different things, and then you're going to wind up back in anger again because you start feeling better.
Okay, so I'll try and synopsize what he said about there's different stages of grief and we go through with anger and loss. And I think that grief isn't just over when we lose somebody. It's we can grieve over lots of things, jobs, kids, whatever. But, you know, it's a process we go through and we come out the end of it different. And I think we truly do. Right?
I could go to Africa and somebody could make me very mad. Now I could quit going to Africa or I could remember the commitment I made and the calling I have to keep going. You could replace Africa with conference, your local, the pastor's house, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you could, but what commitment did you make with the Lord to carry on with these responsibilities? And to me, that pushes you through.
Yeah. If you'd like to pass the mic, go ahead and pass the mic. Would that be easier? I was hoping I could just repeat what people say, but I can't do that very well. So what he said was, you know, we're going through that adversity. Remember our commitments that, you know, like if something happened in Africa that he got his toe stepped on and he didn't want to go back, he couldn't not go back because he had a commitment to God to keep going. And the same thing is with you know, coming to church at the local, or as he said, the pastor's house. Because the pastor always steps on toys.
Or conference.
Oh, that was a good one. The conference, yes.
What I've found particularly helpful is focusing on the attributes of God, who he is, and his promises. Because it's kind of like, I don't know what he's doing, but I know who he is, and I know that his promises are sure. And it's kind of, you have to just set aside what's going on for the moment. And I know this is true, mm-hmm. and it has to be true, or none of this is worth anything. And right. just keep going with the promises that he has in the scripture and who he is.
Certainly, relying upon on who God is. Hey, David. The other David.
Just the testimonies of fellow believers and the experiences they've been through and how they came out the other end of it, and also the testimonies that are in the scriptures. For example, the story of Joseph, who went through a lot of trials, and it was used for good.
Okay. So we have those examples in scriptures. Because we forget sometimes that they were people. They were just like us. So they went through the same emotions and trials. Gordon?
Well, it's our nature, our physical nature, to replace, put something in its place to try to make us feel better. So you see in our society that they turn to alcohol or drugs or sex, whatever it might be. It is, I need to feel better. And so they try to, instead of go through the trial and allow it to work in their life in a good way, mm-hmm. they try to find a quick fix, whatever it is, and they end up with more trials. And yeah. you see that in lives all around.
Because there's the obstacle. And if I do something that just makes it so I don't feel that obstacle anymore, the obstacle is still there. And so whenever I come down off whatever I had, then I still have to deal with the obstacle instead of allowing it, you know, overcoming it at that moment. I saw Linda's hand.
I think extreme stress brings us face to face with our own weaknesses and recognizing what those are and recognizing that the emotions we're feeling, although they're very natural and not good or bad in and of themselves, they can interfere with our ability to reason logically. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, absolutely, we need to lean on God. And also find godly people that we can go to for advice and to talk with to help us make the decisions that are right in front of us that must be made. That we can carry on.
You mentioned
on.
Something about how that adversity, that extreme stress reveals our weaknesses. How do we think? What do we think about our weaknesses? We don't like to think about our weaknesses, do we? I can handle it. We find out later we can't without God. I think that's just the pride that is human. That I can handle this. And in reality, as God said, no, you can't, but I'm right here whenever you're ready to come talk to me. And then using the people around us, that certainly are resources that are available.
And he puts people
into our lives. He does bring people, the right people. Yep. Liza?
I was just going to agree with that and point out this story in Job. I never realized this until my sister-in-law pointed it out to me. And Job, in all of the loss and grief he felt, his friends, they've put their foot in their mouths quite a few times, but those first 7 days, they just sat with him. They did nothing but just be there. Mm-hmm. And having that friend that you can talk through things and work through things and just talk through it is very helpful. Just in processing what you're going through.
Yeah. Sometimes as men, we like to solve problems, and sometimes we don't have that ability, but we have the ability to listen.
I think one of the things that's really helpful is that we all know music.
You know, and I think that there's a song for just about every problem that there is. And I think it's just a soothing kind of exercise to sing a hymn. And
music's powerful.
Well, we see through the scriptures how it soothed people when they it always has. It does me. You know, I have a problem, I just pick a song that speaks to that particular issue, and I just recite it to myself or sing it out loud. And it's a simple thing, but it's very effective.
It is very effective to use music. Drop Kick Me Jesus of the Goalpost of Life is one of my favorites. But seriously though, I mean, you can find a Christian music station anywhere and listen to it. Or there's plenty of music that we have available to us that our own members have made. And so it's certainly a tool that can help us overcome some of those things and refocus our mind. Anybody else? Oh, I see Russ.
I
don't
disagree with it.
Okay. That makes it fun.
You said we can always listen. Guys don't.
Frequently. Yeah, okay. I'll give you that point.
You also said that we try to fix things, and sometimes that's not what's wanted.
Oh, it's most of the time it's not what's wanted.
Especially if you happen to have a wife, she would like you to listen, and you probably won't.
Well, but, you know, most of us are trainable. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes a shock collar, a 2x4, the carrot and the stick, whatever it takes, but we are trainable.
Well, that's one I have to keep trying to learn over and over because I keep trying to fix when what Karen is wanting is for me to listen. I think that's something males have to recognize and fight against.
Good point. I agree with you. Anybody else? So we've talked a little bit about, you know, all these things, and simply to ask them, what effect do trials have on us?
Strength.
Hopefully you learn from them. Okay. Jay?
I think that some of the experiences that I had at the end, I trusted God more. And after the trial, it was, you know, all truly over. And
he gave me some really marvelous spiritual experiences, which I probably never would have had had it not been for the trial itself. You know, I would have just been, but I learned something about God during this, you know. I mean, those are the things that to me made it all worth it, really, was that last thing that I learned more about the Lord and how much He loved me and that sort of thing.
Cool. Oh, Gordon's over here.
The second part of my first comment goes along with this point and the point of what keeps you going. Because depending on your choice and the whole design of this is to point us to Christ, to God. To recognize something greater than ourselves. And it is the epitome of what John speaks of in the 15th chapter, where Christ purges us. And the purging is the trials that we go through in our lives.
Absolutely.
And so how you handle that trial in your life will determine how it's going to affect you in your life. Now, if you don't have Christ in your life and you choose those other things I talked about, you've never solved your problem.
Right. All you do is delay it and make the problem bigger.
And so, you know, the things that the words of Christ are truth. So he says that men are that we might have joy. Well, there's a lot of people around going, I don't think so. You know, where is this joy that he talks about? I think this is a big lie. And it's because they have not followed the process.
Right.
And looked to Christ.
I did it
and
allowed way.
Him to work in your life in that sense.
Yeah, the idea,
in all those
the things. Idea that I'm going to do it my way.
That's right.
I know a better way.
Absolutely. And so that you go full circle there in yep. that sense.
Just like Ashton has a better way.
Trial.
The trial. That's the trial. Cool. Well, as you can see, this is a trial of my... Hopefully it'll let me go to the next slide.
I'm going to interrupt you and just say...
I'm used to it.
One of the things that the trial that I went through helped me be more compassionate and recognize what would be helpful if somebody else went through that, as I knew other people were also fired from that same agency. I was quick to reach out to them and remind them, hey, you are a valuable person and don't let this affect you and all of those things. So compassion would be one of those things that it helped me to be more compassionate.
Okay, good. Well, the next step then is then, how do we have it? How do we develop resilience? What's that?
Go through trials.
That's frequently the only way.
Paul would say that you need some more trials.
Yep. Because what does he say? If you want patience, what's going to happen? Yeah. You get what you pay for. Yeah, get what you ask for. Are you going
to
answer?
Well, I think we still have to be going to school, so to speak, and a lot of prayer and a lot of study, a lot of talking, a lot of conversations. That's our school, I think. We still have to do that to I think it helps us to figure out, when we're talking to one another, going to church, speaking about the welfare of our souls. I think it's one of the things that helps make it all sense, make sense of the whole thing and obeying, enduring. I think that's a thing. Sometimes people think, well, what's the use? But that endurance is one of the things that's what you gain from at the end. That's where you can get the sense of, well, sort of a sense of well done. I did do it. I right. can do it again if I have to do it again.
Exactly. We do grow through those things. Anybody else have any thoughts? Russ, in the corner.
Somebody mentioned...
Can't hear you.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned that we gain resilience through trials. I can't remember who it was that said we can't live long enough to make all mistakes. So we can't live long enough to make all mistakes.
Okay. So it wasn't, your mic wasn't picking up just because I think around the corner or something. But what he said was that, we learn through our trials, but we cannot make all the mistakes in the world. Sometimes we have to learn from other people's mistakes or other people's trials, should be a better word. Other people's trials and their experiences, when they share them in our testimony services, that way we can gain that strength from someone else's trial without having to go through it. Gordon?
One of the things I thought about when that word first got up, the resilience, was when Peter asked the Lord, well, how often do I forgive my brother? 7 times? And the Lord says, no, 70 times 7. But we always look at it in one direction. And so I want to point us to the other direction that you can find that the Lord speaks of, and it's in the book of Proverbs 24:16, where it says, for a just man falleth, what? Oh, 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other side of the coin. The resilience is the just man is desiring to overcome his things. He still falls in them.
But gets back up.
But he gets back up, or she gets back up. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hang himself or commit suicide like we're seeing today. Why? Because they have no hope.
Right.
And the resilience is comes through standing back up. Why do they want to stand back up? Because there's something greater than them to help them in this. Besides themselves.
Yes, I agree.
Can we not ask the Lord for a gift of resilience? I don't know how many times I've done that. It seems to work.
I think he probably gives us the strength to endure.
Sometimes through that. It comes directly rather than... That's a shortcut, right straight through the trial sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go ahead and give me the resilience to go ahead and solve this thing? Some of us are real horrible about being impatient, so we want to solve the problem now.
Right. Brian?
What you just said... That's a commandment that we endure to the end, which means we have to keep bouncing back because we're all going to have problems and trials. So to endure to the end, we have to bounce back. It's God's law.
Jim, were you going to have a hand up?
Paul tells us to run the race with patience. And you're not going to get resilience unless you have patience to go through whatever process you're going through.
That's a good point. Patience.
You
know,
if
is
you go through
it
too fast, you didn't learn anything, and you didn't gain anything from it.
Or perhaps you didn't gain as much, maybe.
Yeah.
DASL?
I was trying to think about this from a different angle, and if I understand metalworking correctly, the process of building resilience in the metal is tempering it, which is heat for an extended amount of time. So I guess that points to the trials over extended times.
I'm
going to
check with my mechanical engineer. Is that true? More or less? Yeah, absolutely. It does strengthen us, doesn't it? Cures us, refines us. Jay?
Right along with that is I don't think sometimes in our modern society that we take advantage of what God designed as a day of rest, you know. So if you're in the trial and you're in the fire, you've got to let the metal rest. You've got to let it recuperate. And I know there's all kinds of things in the world that are like that. They need that time of nothing, you know, where you're resting, you're thinking about things that are going to help you, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy, you know, like or that you want to do it, but you know, turning the cell phone off and just talking with people and getting away from TV. Don't go to the ball game on Sunday. I mean, the things that we like to do, they aren't really restful when your team loses. It's not restful, you know. You're still back in the same grind and pressure. Is stepping out of it, like we're doing here at a reunion. We're stepping out of all this, and you're giving that time for the metal to set and to recuperate. And it's funny how, you know, something like steel is like that. It's interesting, and so are we. We're exactly the same. We need that rest also.
It's like God designed it that way or something. It's pretty weird. Okay. Well, the... Mm-hmm. There is a commandment to that effect. Well, I have a few things I want to try and cover in the last few minutes. If I get close, well, there it goes. Maybe it's my proximity. So I came up with five different things, and so I'll throw them out there, and you guys can agree or disagree. But I think the first thing is to understand that we are going to face adversity, and this is what Brian was just referring to, that... In John chapter 16, it says that. I'm doing my best Bannett interpretation. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We are going to have problems and trials in life. And guess what? We are going to fail from time to time. Okay? The problem is when we think we're not going to have problems, it makes us fragile so that when the problem does happen, we don't know how to handle it. Well, why is this happening to me? Instead of, this is life. Welcome to life. Instead of trying to avoid them, or avoid any kind of difficulty. It's not life. It's not realistic. And then realizing that you can cope with challenges or difficulties with the help of Christ, when you realize that, it changes how you look at this. That mistakes and weaknesses become opportunities to learn and be humble. And this is exactly what you guys just said. I just had it already on a slide. Ether 5:28 is that, you know, God gives men weaknesses so that they will be humble. And it's an important thing that he does, because he has a purpose in mind. And that's the second thing, is to understand who you are and what your purpose is. And this is, I tried to get everything down to as small as I could. And now 16:228 says, behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform the labors. Our entire life is getting ready to meet God. This is probationary time that we have on this earth, that it's not about how much money you're making or how big a car you got or whatever it is. Doesn't matter. The rich and the poor are both standing right before God, and we're all going to meet him. And understanding that that's our primary purpose on this life is choosing who we're going to follow. And that is what that sense of purpose is what helps us avoid giving up. I know that this life is going to have trials, and I know that this is where I'm supposed to be right now. Okay, and I have a purpose that I'm going to meet God. And then the third one is to understand what God's purpose is in us. And this one I chopped down a lot to get the core points, but it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for each of us. And that purpose is to become conformed to the image of his Son, to be more like him. Okay? And then that, you know, if you notice, it's 28 to 39. I didn't put all those up there, but that's when it's talking about, you know, what can separate us from God? And it lists all these different things that can't separate us from God or his love. Because in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that's the important part. We can conquer adversity. We can conquer those things with Christ. And just that understanding of that God is at work in each of us, trying to bring us more and more into his likeness, if you will, for lack of a better word. And then Ephesians 4:13 talks about, you know, talks about all the different ministry responsibilities, and ultimately it's till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, trying to become more Christ-like in our lives. Understanding that as what's going on when we're going through these trials and adversities is a huge, huge part of that. Be doing something. I think it's important that we're going through the trials, that we don't just sit. I think a day of rest is not a bad idea, but a month of rest is not a good idea. It's not healthy for us, and so we got to be doing things. And so we just referenced that. I forgot who mentioned that we're in a race. Was it you, Kim, or Jim? Yeah, that we're in this race, and we have to run. And if there's an obstacle in the way, you got to jump over it, and you keep running. It's life. And so be active in doing something, serving others. We talked a little bit about feelings and that kind of stuff. And I think what I hope we can do is, feelings are important. We should acknowledge them, but not use them as a basis for our actions. If we say, well, I feel bad, therefore I'm going to do this, it's probably not going to be the right thing. Because the way it should do is, what defines our actions is who we are. I'm a follower of Christ, therefore I'm going to do this action, and the result of this action will be a change in my emotion. Instead of allowing the emotion to drive the action, which usually makes it deteriorate quickly. So we can focus on what we can do instead of what's outside of our control. What's outside of our control? A lot. But do you ever think about what we have that is in our control? What we do with our time? Where we go? What we do? We have certain things that we can control. Jim?
One of the things you can control, or we can control, is not to take on a trial that's not ours. Is it our trial? Are we to be here as support?
Mm-hmm.
It's not my trial. It's your trial. I'm here to support you. I should not take on a trial that's yours and allow it to destroy me.
No, I agree that shouldn't allow it to destroy her, but I think that that's one of the promises we do make is that we help shoulder other people's burdens.
Shoulder them, but yeah. They're not our burdens.
They're not our burdens, but we do help shoulder them.
Shoulder support.
Okay. But, you know, I think that that's some of the times that I find is, especially when I was working, the chiefs are so stupid. Why are they doing this? And they're making all these really bad decisions. And it's like they have those bugles that are the right number and the right formation, and they can make that decision. I can't control it. I can control this little circle right here. I can't control what's going on, what somebody else is doing. I can't make somebody else do anything. So I can focus on what I can do. Then taking actions consistent with our purpose. Again, understanding who we are as followers of Christ. And so that should drive. If I'm a follower of Christ, what would a Christian do? That's what I'm going to do. Feelings are for what follows behavior. And so don't let our emotions drive our actions. And then the last thing is that I have is to accept support from others. How hard is it sometimes to let somebody help you?
Humbling.
It's humbling, and we don't like it. When we have to stand up and say, I need help. I can't handle it. It's hard. But why? What's God trying to do to us? He's trying to humble us. He's trying to make us so that He can use us. He's trying to develop us. And we have to be willing to humble ourselves to accept it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. There are a lot of scriptures about this. You know, you mentioned speaking one to another about the welfare of our souls. It's the same thing. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, and they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's the essence, that's the purpose of church. Of a local church is to strengthen each other as a community, to help each other, to encourage each other, to walk with someone through a trial. It's their trial. We can't make their decisions for them, but we can walk along beside them and encourage them and show them through the scriptures, hey, this is the way. So I think that's an important part of how we develop resilience. So, you know, in summary, there are obstacles in life. And we have to realize that some are there to perfect us. The trials that we go through are what God allows into our life because He's working on us, developing us. But also there are some that prevent us, that Satan's also at work. And we don't always know which is which. But we know that there's an obstacle. That doesn't mean we don't try to get over it. Because we have an adversary, and he's going to do everything he can to stop us from growing spiritually. And a lot of times that stopping is right up here because sometimes we put the obstacles in our own way. by our own attitude, our own habits, distractions. Those are the things that go right in our own way, and we do it. Do you ever notice that sometimes when you feel like, man, I don't want to go to church today, that is the day you get there and you find out that was why you needed to be there? There was something that was going to happen at that service that day that you needed. But the adversary is throwing those things in at our face going, ah, you don't need us. And we miss it. We miss that opportunity to grow spiritually. I did want to touch on perfectionism. Because perfectionism can certainly undermine our resilience. And by perfectionism, I'm not talking about where Scripture says to be perfect, because that truly means to be complete and to be whole. But perfectionism, it's the idea that I cannot make a mistake. I'm perfect. I just can't do it. And so what hinders us from growing is to say, I'm perfect, or I want to be perfect. And so I'm not going to make mistakes, and so therefore I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to take a step forward because it might be a mistake. And perfectionism, a lack of ability to walk in faith and take that next step, I think is huge. We fear failure and mistakes. We choose what we do based on whether we think it will be successful or not, not whether we choose what we do based on what the Scriptures say or not. And we procrastinate when we don't feel confident. Because if I can just put it off until I'm confident, then I'll take that step. We worry about what others will think of us if we make a mistake. And so we don't. We don't do anything. And we stagnate. So I think that that this perfectionism is what can hold us back from truly growing. Perfectionism can be a taskmaster, that I have to maintain this. Because we all have a facade that we like to keep up. This is who I am. But inside, we understand our own weaknesses. And so I don't want to do anything that's going to harm my facade or I don't want to make a mistake in front of everybody, because then, they think I'm perfect. I get that all the time. Especially from Liza, you're right. But we have to be humble to allow all these things to occur. And so why did we decide to talk about resilience? We are living in a day where we're going to need it. We need it. And we've truly needed it throughout history. People have needed resilience. And we need it for the day we live in. And we can get it. We can have it. Because God is there with us. And He wants us to have it. He wants us to see us crossing that finish line, enduring to the end, and winning. And so He gives everything we need to be successful. He provides. We just got to trust Him. And then act on that. I wanted to close with this scripture. This is 2 Nephi 13, 27-30. It says, "Now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, we must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and of love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." Resilience, enduring to the end, and I can't, to me this is just a perfect summation of, there's so much in here, We could spend another hour talking about that if you'd like. No. But really, it's a tremendous opportunity when we look at trials the right way and when we understand them and we can support each other through them. Anybody have any other comments they want to add before we close? Jace.
There's one more element to this, is, you know, trying to help other people be resilient, like your children.
I think there's a real danger in us becoming, what's the right word, where people rely on us too much, you know, where you don't let your children do something wrong, like, you know, paint their own bedroom and mess it up and letting them fail. And I think it can give them the same kind of problem we might have ourselves where, you know, I can't fail, but I can, mm-hmm. and I do, and I will.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing with perfectionism. We base our worth, our self-worth is only, I'm only worth anything if I'm perfect.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's important to let kids fail.
Yeah.
Sometimes trip them on your own.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Something Liza said when she was mentioning her trial was that, I think I got this right, Liza, that you looked at it and wondered if there was something you had done, if there was a problem within yourself that had caused the trial. And it made me think of a story where Jesus heals a man who'd been lame from his birth. Mm-hmm. And then the scribes and Pharisees call the man and his family in, and they, one of the questions they ask them is, which of you did the bad thing that caused him to be lame from his birth? And the answer is, it was so that God would be glorified.
Good point. Very good point. Anybody else? Well, cool. Well, that was fun. I don't know if it was fun for you, but it was fun for me. I appreciate all your comments and your participation.